Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Applause Radio Show with your hosts, Joanne Barton. Tonight, our special guest is Mark Dawson of the Grassroots. Many of you guys remember all the songs he did in the 60s, and we're just getting ready to get Joanne and Mark on the line. And I'm going to play a little song here for you from a 2010 live, and this is Mark Dawson. Let's see. Hopefully it'll play. Well, I don't think it's going to play.
Sing it, Bob.
All right, while we're waiting for Joanne to come on, we lost her. Hopefully she'll call back soon with Mark Dawson. Let's see if we can get them back on the line. Well, that was Mark Dawson from 2010. That was a live recording of Midnight Confession. And let's see if we can get Joanne back on the line. Joanne, come on, where are you? Call in. Let's see, I think we have her now. Let's see, we're going to go to Joanne. Joanne, you there?
Hey. Yes, Mark, you there?
Hey, that...
I hear everybody.
All right, here we go.
Hey,
welcome,
Mark.
Welcome, fans, to Applause Radio Show, sponsored by KWV Wines. Applause Radio Show is the show that gets you one step closer to your favorite celebrities from yesterday and today. Tonight, I can't wait to open this treasure chest. We got the talented Mark Dawson, the lead singer and bassist of the legendary pop rock band, The Grassroots. I'm a big fan. I know I am. I am. And I know our listeners are, too. And the Grassroots had hits, if you don't already know, Midnight Confession, Live for Today, Sooner or Later, my favorite, Temptation Eyes, and, my God, the list goes on. If you want to get in on the conversation, give us a call tonight at 646-478-0999. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joanne. Thanks. And hi, John, if you're still back there, too. Hi.
Hey, Mark, I'm here.
All right.
Unfortunately, John and I went through a little bit of a heat stroke today. we're not up to par, but we're fine.
Oh, you out enjoying the beaches today or something?
No, work, man. They had no air conditioning on today. It was horrible. It was bad. It was bad. Well, anyway, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Mark. It's an absolute
pleasure.
And how are you? You good?
I'm great. Rested up. I had this last 5 days off, which was nice.
Nice.
My wife and I just chilled a little bit, watched some movies, visited with some friends. It was nice, just 5 days to do nothing.
Excellent. I'd love that.
Yeah, anyway, it's been a while.
we really have so much to talk about. I mean, the Grassroots, of course, your other band, Simulcast, your book and your radio show, Making Noise with Mark Dawson, and also More Noise, the book, and your new album, Straight.
Whatever. Oh,
hello.
I think I'm muted.
We're trying to get a caller. We're trying to get a caller on the line, Joanne. So we're having a little difficulty. I'm going to try to get someone.
I'm sorry, some technical. You know, we are live, folks. So we're live. Unedited.
Well, yeah, I know how. Certainly know how that goes. I do my own weekly program, and
Us about that.
Well, I've been doing it about 5 years now. Recently just changed the actual network it broadcast over, but Hall of Fame Music Radio handles my my show. It's syndicated in a few markets. It's just basically it's me 2 hours just really kind of just playing these songs that I like.
Right,
and,
me too, yeah.
Yeah, nobody says you can't do this, you can't do that, which
right.
is why I said, okay, I'll do it then.
Right,
and,
right.
I just talk, I'll tell some stories and things, but I mostly just play the songs I like, and then I have a few funny bits that I'll do in there that sometimes I'm funny, but otherwise it's just 2 hours of it's kind of cool as I play some obscure, but mostly just pop hits that everybody knows.
Right,
but,
right.
But I do dig up a few gems, including. My personal favorite part of the show is the worst song ever recorded.
Oh, God, what was the last one you played?
Oh, probably was, they're so bad. I played maybe last week it was, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Oh, I know what it was called. It was called You Go to My Head. But it was just some French guy with spoken word language.
Oh, God. Oh,
we find some crazy songs that just, they're laughable.
You have to put Leonard Nimoy on when he did his speaking album.
You know what? I did play Leonard once, a song about a hobbit that we played once. It's terrible. Yeah,
I'm sure.
So we look for things that are some people you might know them, but generally we just look for, if it's really bad, we're going to play it. It's that
well,
simple.
The name of the show is called Making Noise with Mark Dawson. Where can folks listen to that? Where can they catch the show?
The easiest way to do it is to go to hofmradio.com. And, you can also listen on the TuneIn app and all kinds of other ways. But the simplest way is to go to hofmradio.com. And then they'll give you the choices. You can hear it there or choose your other listening outlets.
Which stands for Hall of Fame Radio, of course.
Right. Hall of Fame Music Radio. And all the songs are archived on my website once the syndicated.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so they can always go to my website
and listen back.
Yeah, you can find the radio page, and they're all there.
And now, how about the book, More Noise, Making More Noise? What, tell me about that, basically your experiences in the business? Or...
Well, you would think that, but this came to be, my wife talked me into this. It's out of print right now. We sold out of them, but what it basically is, people who follow me on Facebook would know every day I post something silly. I come
yes,
up with,
you do, and they're hysterical.
Well, thank you. So I come up with these. I don't know why. And my wife said, you should put those in a book. And I said, nah, nobody wants to hear that, read that stuff. And anyway, she basically, behind my back, took about 500 or so.
Oh my Lord!
Of quotes of mine and put them all in under headings. So she actually classified whether they're life quotes.
That's great. That's a good wife.
Funny.
That's a good wife.
Oh, she's fantastic. Yeah.
Is it available online anywhere, or just a hard copy that you're out of?
It only was put out on hard copy. We did not do the audio book or anything like that. So,
why don't you put it on Amazon?
Well, we did have it on Amazon, but the print ran out, and I'm considering, you know, having redone.
Definitely, you should. Yes.
But
definitely.
People seem to like it. It's just silly humor. A couple of things you can read and put the book down and go back and read them again if you want.
Yeah. And now, Straight from the Heart, the new album. Where can people get that, and what type of songs you have on there?
Well, Straight to the Heart is actually almost a year old now. That is my most recent.
Right.
It's available through my website,
mm-hmm.
markdawson.us. You can also you can go to Spotify and listen to it, and you know that streams all it's all the time. So what's on there is it's a combination of some original material and cover songs. What I do on my cover with cover songs when I record them, a friend of mine called it Mr. Noise Unplugged. And so what I generally do is take a classic song, something you'd know, and I sort of reimagine it in a more acoustic style.
Oh, great.
And that's how it came to be. And like I said, it was dubbed Mr. Noise Unplugged. So I'm working on some new material now that I hope
excellent.
To have out before Christmas time.
Great, great. You should do a Christmas album. No one will ever forget you then.
I do. Every year I add a Christmas song or two into my recorded catalog. And this year I might be reaching about 12 or 13 Christmas songs. So maybe we'll find a way to get them all out in one fell swoop there.
Nice, nice. Well, if you don't mind, I mean, John, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
John?
We have a call.
Oh, no, that's what I was going to ask
you. Hear me,
you
Joanne?
Yes, we hear you.
I have a caller, and he's got a question for Mark. Hold on one second.
Excellent.
And this is Dan from Illinois. Dan, are you there?
Welcome to the show,
guys.
Dan.
Hi.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
What's your question?
Well, I know Mark likes the Beatles here, of course.
I like. Wait, what is
Mark?
Is this Dan Carlson? Is this the famous Dan Carlson?
I don't know if I'm very famous or not.
Funny. Excellent. So, Dan, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Okay, I was just wondering, because I know Mark likes the Beatles, and I've sent him some Beatles songs before. I sent some Beatles songs to you before, Mark, and you know that. But,
yes.
Do you have a favorite Beatles song?
My all-time favorite Beatles song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, without a doubt, it's And Your Bird Can Sing. I don't know what it is about that song, but maybe you remember, Dan. I'm not sure how old you are, but back in the middle 60s, when the Beatles were, of course, ruling the world, there was a Beatles cartoon that was out every Saturday morning.
Mm. Right.
You remember the
Beatles
cartoons?
Yes, on Saturday morning.
Right.
I remember all those cartoons, yeah.
Yeah, now there were only, I think there's 22 of those cartoons out there. But anyway, what I remember, and I actually have the collection. I was able to find a person who can get them for me. But something about the video of them doing And Your Bird Can, it's just a cartoon, but there was something about that when I was a kid. I just was so endeared to that.
Yeah.
And it was a song I couldn't get out of my head. And to this day, it's probably
your favorite.
It's everything's quick. It happens fast. It's three different cool parts in the song, and it's over. And I just like, wow, that was, I want to hear that again.
When did you start playing the bass? Since you were so young and into music, then.
I started playing when I was about 16. I may have just turned 17, but I actually played a little bit of guitar prior to that. Just you know, the basic chords: E chord, A chord, D chord.
Mm.
And the way I got into bass, and this is absolute truth, I was at a rehearsal one day. It was all the guys from our high school.
Uh-huh.
And the bass player, who was the only guy in the band who was older than the rest of us, the bass player just comes to rehearsal one day and he says, "Well, guys, my mom and dad said I got to quit the band and I got to go away to college." So that's my notice. So without even pause, my trumpet player, we had a three-piece horn section, turns to me and he says, "Hey, Mark, you should try playing the bass. It's only got four strings. It's probably a lot easier."
Nothing like, you suck, play the bass.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
At that time, I was the singer of the band, but I knew a couple of guitar chords.
Right.
And I didn't even, it happened so quickly, and I was like, I didn't even get offended. I said, "Yeah, that sounds like a good idea." And sure enough, I never even touched a bass up until that point. And when I put his bass on just to try it, oh my gosh,
you were home. It was
a startling revelation. It felt like this piece of, it was like a Harry Potter wand was in my hand now.
Yeah. Well, I'm very partial to the bass and drums. I'm big. Bass is just like, drives me crazy.
The rhythm. Yeah. You got to have the rhythm section,
Without the bass, you're done. The bass and the drums, you're done, But for those who don't know, Mark is actually not the original singer from the Grassroots. Unfortunately, in 2011, we lost the original singer, Rob Grill. And Mark was brought in as actually a fill-in guitar bass player. And how did like that come about? Like, did you know these guys? Did they find you in the ad? I mean, how did they, find you?
Yes, well, I actually knew Rob Grill since the 70s.
Okay, so you knew each other.
Yeah, so, and really, every couple of years or so, Rob would, we'd run into each other, or he'd, I'd call him, he'd call me, he'd just say hi. And he'd always say, "Hey, Mark, you should join the band. I need you to join the band." And it never worked out for me. It just, I was doing other musical things and had a family.
Right.
In 2008, actually it was January 2008, I got a call from our management company, and it was an emergency thing. Rob's in the hospital. Can you fill in a date or two? And I said, "Yeah, I'll do it for Rob anytime, of course."
Right.
So I went, 3 days later, I went out to San Francisco, played a couple shows, came home, played a couple more. And when Rob came back, it was maybe 4 weeks later. And I was, I was just going to say, "All right, see you guys." And he's "No, he talked me into it this time." So, So in January 2008 is when I joined the band permanently. And then, of course, when Rob passed away, I took over as that's what he wanted anyway.
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, did he like seek you out? I mean, this is a stupid question, but were you a big fan of the bands? I mean, obviously you were, you knew them. So like I said, it's a stupid question. And in the 60s to 70s, I mean, the Grassroots, they were a fixture on a radio. I mean, they were always on, and they were always on American Bandstand. No matter what you did, you couldn't help but hear a Grassroots song or see the Grassroots performing. And, oh, what a shame. Such a great voice and great talent.
Right.
And, oh, such a good-looking guy, too.
Joanne, he was all of those things. And also, and Rob was a guy who was just a heart was as big as the ocean. He was a guy who loved everybody. Really a good, a good human being as well.
Let me ask you this, since you're not an original member, but you've been in the band for years now, and you know them all very well, and you probably knew them all well before. But, is it true that VH1 wouldn't do a behind the music on the band because the band was too clean? Is that a true story?
Well,
I guess because you guys weren't drug addicts, they didn't want you.
There actually is a bit of a story there. It's rumored that was so VH1. From what I was told, they were doing some bands from the 80s and 70s and stuff and they were doing a. They wanted a story, is what they wanted.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right.
You know,
they wanted, yeah.
And what actually happened was I did see a few of those. They did five or six groups, and the grassroots were in consideration for this. And it wasn't that we, although we didn't have any dark stories to share. That's true.
That's why.
but the truth is that the show was canceled before they got to more than five.
Oh,
groups.
You're kidding! Oh, because so I love that show. I love it.
I thought it was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
But yeah, they needed more. They wanted dirt, and if a good story with a happy ending isn't, I guess, not entertaining to anyone.
No, yeah, they want that train wreck comeback story and maybe train wreck again. No,
right.
You know, that they want people to watch it. I mean, I'd watch it if it was clean, because I love the band. I love all that music from that era. And, you know, that's why we do this show, too. I'm a big fan of every guest we have on. And I think that a lot of our listeners are big fans, too. And, you know, we like to bring back the old sounds of yesterday, because, I mean, that was music. You know, that was real music. And I need it in my life. I can't function without it, to be honest. So, but
I'm with you.
Your voice is fantastic as well. I mean, to cover and carry the band for so long, I mean, amazing, amazing. So congrats on that.
Thank you. Well, you know, I that's really nice. And you mentioned earlier I must have been a fan or something. You probably couldn't be more on the dot. When in my teenage years, when I was younger, even down to maybe 10 years old or so, I had three favorite bands, and it was the Grassroots, the Guess Who, and the Beatles. That was it.
Oh, every great.
Yeah, and yeah. Those three bands could do no wrong. So
right.
You know, fast forward all those years. First of all, getting to know the band and be around, and then to be an actual member of that was
amazing, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things you go, wow, pinch me, that really happened, huh?
Right. Who do you play more with now?
Hey,
you play more with
Joanne?
Simulcast? Yeah, hon.
We have a caller
we
have Mike from North Carolina, and he says he's a friend of Mark, so he wants to know when you're going to cross paths again.
Hey.
Mike, you on the line?
I'm on the line.
Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you call to bust Mark's balls?
Well, what I called was to say hello to Mark. I'm a friend. This is Mike Green from Iron Butterfly, and I wanted to say hello and see when the next time maybe we'd be crisscrossing on a show again, you know?
Nice thrill. Thank you for calling so much. Another fantastic band, Iron Butterfly. Thank you.
Yes, that's Mike Green right there. He's Mike Green.
Awesome.
One of the most awesome percussionists I've ever dealt with. And just a downright good guy. I like working with Iron Butterfly because Mike and Martin and all the guys in the band, Ronnie, they're great guys. They're fun to be around. So
you know
hi,
what?
Mike.
all you guys from back there are just great people. And you know what? It was a great time, and that great time generated great people. That's just the bottom line. You know,
that's true. And I feel the same way with Mark. You know, we met the crews. We had a ton of fun together. We talked a couple times. He did an interview. People call me every day on Facebook saying, hey, when are you guys going to do something on the same show again? So I said, well, let me see if I can get through and find out. Maybe he knows, you know. So that's what it was. That and just to say hello.
Well, yeah, Mark, what's going on the tour side for you guys? That was my next question. Are you playing more with Simulcast or more with Grassroots these days? What are the happy medium there?
Yeah, you know what, the dates locally, I almost never play locally anymore. It's really rare. And when I do, Joanne, it's solo. I'll do some solo private events, things like that.
Right.
We got a pretty good year. We're pushing about 60 dates, and the summer's been real busy. It's been real good.
Well, you did the Get Together Tour, right? The Happy Together Tour, is it? I believe it is the Happy Get Together, Happy Together.
Yeah, it's Happy Together. We are not on that tour this year.
Because they're touring now, right? They're doing that now.
Yeah, they used to get about, we've done it three or four times. you get about that's an additional 55 dates or so. That's
man.
Yeah, that's really I don't know if I could fit that in this year, but certainly have done it in the past. But we do some package deals. We do some package shows. We work with the Box Tops a lot. We work with the Association quite often.
All great bands.
Right,
Turtles, Cowsills, Buckinghams, all those guys. Oh, Gary Puckett. I love Gary Puckett, too.
Yeah, my God. Work with Gary many times, of course. And I'd love to do more shows with Iron Butterfly because
I was just going to ask Mike. Mike, you still on the phone?
Yeah, I am just listening to you guys. We'd like to also. It's a little different genre, but the people loved it on the cruise. We love working with them. You know, we're getting ready to we're doing these two Woodstock shows, one on the 11th
Excellent.
And one on the 18th, and then we go to Europe for 2 weeks. So
nice.
If
you ever have any time, give us a call, and we'd love to have you on the show as a guest. Iron Butterfly is, you know, everybody would love to talk to you. I'm sure of it.
Well, I don't want to bore you. Mark did it once last year, but we'd love to come back on. It'd be great talking to you.
Please feel free to reach out. We'd love to have you on the show.
Mike's
well,
a good
great.
Interview.
I don't want to take up your guys' time. I just wanted to tell you, you know, hello, Mark. Again, good to see that you're doing everything on. Looks like you're having a lot of fun, a lot of good shows. We're doing well, and so just hope we can cross paths again soon. That's it.
Great news. You guys need to do a collab. You guys need to collab.
Yeah, well, Mike and I, we're in. I'm always following you, Mike, and we got to get something. I'd love to have the two of us back on a show again. That was
I'm going to talk to our agency. Cruise ship was great.
The cruise ship was great.
But I'm going to talk to the agent and see if they can do anything because it's still not as great. You know, I understand Grassroots and the Association and those guys together, and a lot of people think it's different with Iron Butterfly, but it's not. It's music, you know, and same people that like that like it.
Fits right in, Iron Butterfly. Are you kidding me?
We had a ball.
Great.
So,
we're looking forward to it,
and just wanted to say hello and say, you know, glad to see you're working so much, Mark, and, you know, he's a great guy, and just hopefully we'll see each other soon.
Well,
yeah, man. Thanks, Mike. Listen, I look forward to hanging with you again real soon, too.
Yeah, Mike, thank you so much for calling, and good luck, and I can't wait to have you on the show. That'd be great. Give us a call sometime.
Thanks.
Excellent.
We will.
Take care, Mike.
All right,
Mike, stay on the line, Mike. Mike, stay on the
see
line.
You, Mike. Okay.
He's probably going to win a special prize or something, right?
Yeah, he wins Mark Dawson for the night. But, Mark, I also wanted to say, I'm getting hot. I don't have any air where I am right now, too. But what was I going to ask you now? Oh, you're Fox. What is the licensing agreement with Fox? Tell me about that. That sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of a surprise to me. So there's a company that might be called Tracking. They're publishing for some of my songs. These are songs that I did they're a long time ago, and I kind of had forgotten about them. But I got a call one day, and this is like 8 months or so ago, and all they told me was a company called the Numero Group, and they're based out of Chicago, and they said, oh yeah, we just want to check your all your address and your Social Security information. I said, what do you want that for? Oh yeah, we're going to send you some checks. I said, and then I found out that I said, checks for what? You know, checks are good. And then they said it was licensed. They did not know what program. It's television. That's not film. But Fox Television has licensed some of my tunes for the next three years. So
send those checks.
Anything you got, if you want to send me, that's good. So that's pretty exciting. I'm hoping to find out what program is using them, just to see how they place the tunes. But interesting, they don't really tell you much other than, okay, you're going to get a check, and I don't know how much or when, but I guess
so. Well, when they send you your statement for the rights, don't they say where it aired? I used to get that.
They should once I get it. Yeah, it's just something that it's all. I guess it's all happening in September now. This new thing.
Great.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Congrats, that's great. And you're from the Chicago area originally, right?
Right. Yeah, born and raised there.
Well, this guy must have really liked you from back then, and said, you know what, I love his music, and guess what?
It was interesting. The initial call I got, I was literally stepping off an airplane, and it was in Chicago when I took the call, and you know, I was like, oh, how weird is that? I'm in Chicago right now for a few minutes, and et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, it's all fun. I'll tell you what, anytime you can create music, my goal in creating it is just to share it. That's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make some money doing what you love, that's even better. I mean,
Exactly.
You can't beat that.
Right. I know. It's amazing to do what you love. I mean, it's not working. You don't work. If you do what you love and you make money, you know, you're not working at all.
That's right. It's not work. It's a joy.
Yeah.
I could sit down and try to create music, and you know, 8 hours can go by and it feel like I was sitting there for half an hour. It's just one of those things.
Right. And I'm sure the fans, when they see you, I mean, they just absolutely love the shows too, as well as the live shows. I'd love to go catch one of the shows myself. There hasn't been one out here. Are you doing any East Coast gigs soon with the band?
We have got only one that I can, at least until the end of September. We've got one in Quakertown,
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
Just
John.
Is that John's area?
Yeah,
John. That's my area. That's my area.
Hey,
Mark. I got a question for Mark. I'm a musician myself, and I know there's a lot of musicians out there would like to know what kind of equipment you're using, what kind of bass guitar you're using, what you like, and what kind of amp. That I think that's important.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, John, I've already heard some of your music. You've got the sci-fi world covered, I think, there for one.
Well, John's actually a movie director as well, so he does a lot of his own music for his movies. So
I know. I did my homework on John. I know what he's up to. He's no small potatoes. He's the man out there.
Yeah.
But as far as what I use, well, it's bass, so it's, you know, most people don't really care, but that's fine.
What do you mean people don't care? It's a bass.
Well,
I love the bass.
Well, you and I and John are the three who care. Most people, like, you know, they don't even know what.
The three of us are musicians. Now, as musicians, we pay more attention to that shit. A regular person who listens to music is listening. It doesn't even listen to, oh, that was a great bass, or, you know, oh,
right.
My God. You know, they just said, oh, that song, it reminded me of when I had this breakup or whatever. You know?
Right.
Yeah, they don't relate. They don't relate to it the way musicians do. You know what I mean? A music song.
You're right. It probably is a different feel.
Yeah.
I don't mean to belittle the bass. Don't get me wrong. I love playing bass.
Yeah.
I'm still passionate about it. But to address John's question, I've always used, with the exception of a 2-year period where I had some endorsement things, I'm a Fender Precision guy, and I just think you can step on any stage anywhere and play any kind of music at any time using a Fender Precision bass. A jazz bass is nice too, but I'm a P bass guy.
Mm.
And as far as an amp, I didn't used to care. Until I discovered the SWR Goliath. I love the Goliath with 410s or 810s, but I either way, it's just a punchy, you know, I'm not into a big volume. I just like it to be punchy sounding, you know, feel to it.
Right.
And
right.
So when I discovered the SWR Goliath, the head, and it's a 900 watt head, I guess, I just love it. And that's what my backline calls for now. I can, anything's fine really, but I do love that particular setup.
Mm.
Right.
You know, I heard recently they're trying to put on another Woodstock, and I think what they should do for this Woodstock is actually get bands from the 60s to do it, not these bands that are out there now. I think more people would be more accepting of it to have it in their area. Because what that last Woodstock was, it the 90s? It was it was disgusting. They tore the place up, you know.
Yeah. That was a mud fest.
Yeah, but I think if they did another Woodstock, they should do like what Woodstock meant, the music from the 60s, you know? But I mean, although we lost a lot of the major players back then that were at Woodstock, obviously, but I mean, just the music itself. I mean, any artist from the city, I love everything. So, but I mean, I want to get all you guys on from that era. So,
yeah. You know, I agree with you. Yeah.
It's like your show. You play your favorites. I want my favorites on. You know. So, you know. But go ahead, honey. I'm sorry.
I was saying when they announced those Woodstock shows from the very get go, and I'm not generally a naysayer. I'm a guy who's full of positivity.
Right.
But I remember when they announced those, it was two different locations, and I immediately said, well, that's already a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because Woodstock was not in two places. Yeah, it was intended to be in one and ended up in another.
Mm-hmm.
But and then when I saw the potential lineup, and they were going like from Jay-Z to the Lovin' Spoonful, and I went, that just can't work. Lovin' Spoonful
yeah.
can work,
mm-hmm.
but you're not going to mix those two genres, because then you're going to charge $400 for tickets because you've got to pay the big acts, you know, the people who. Well, like I said, Jay-Z, there was plenty of others that were more for younger people.
Right.
And they've got their fest already. They've got Bonnaroo and Burning Man and Lollapalooza. They're all out there.
Right.
The older groups don't go to those. So when they started talking about, oh, we're going to change this lineup and do this, I already said that's never going to happen. And actually, I read yesterday that the second show that they thought was still going to happen is now – they will not issue permits for
it. Right, they can't cover it with the safety. You know,
right.
They're worried. I'd be worried too. You don't know what you're going to get there. You know, so
their infrastructure should have been in place already 11 or 12 months ago.
Right, I think they got 5 days now to make up a decision what they want to do. Hello, that's not happening.
It'll be crazy.
Other than the grassroots, who, what bands influenced you other than the Beatles and, you know, the obvious? I mean, was there anything, like you said, obscure that really piqued your interest to get you into music? What was the first song you learned on the bass? Don't tell me. Go ahead.
Let's see. On the bass, let me think of that for because I can tell you the first guitar song, but on the bass, probably the first song I learned was I'm a Man. The old Spencer Davis song.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
because
cool.
Because I was playing, I mentioned earlier, in a band with horns.
Yeah, right.
So we were doing the Chicago version of that song. But
right.
that probably is the first that I actually sat down and said, okay, learn the bass on this. And ironically, years later, got to play with the Spencer Davis group.
Cool.
And actually, yeah, that was quite cool.
Yeah.
Actually got to play that song, the first one I ever learned on bass.
I thought it was going to be that's everybody's first song on the bass.
Yeah, that's probably it may not have been out yet, but it was.
Yeah,
I know.
That's what I'm gonna say. Yeah. But John, anybody calling? Anybody want to talk to Mark? Give us a call at 646-478-0999 on applauseradioshow.com. Having a great time here. Come join us.
Call me. I'm lonely.
Hey, Mark.
He's lonely.
I got another question for you, Mark. Playing the bass and singing lead. That's not an easy task. How did you manage to learn all those songs and to you know, sing lead and play those bass lines? Because that's really difficult.
Yeah, you know, John, that's probably the number one question that I get asked. Honestly, the people ask, and here's my answer, and this is the truth. When I started to play bass, I had no idea about rhythmically how difficult it is to sing the melody of a song and yet play a completely different or counter melody while
right.
you're playing the bass.
It's very
That's
hard.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It never even occurred to me because I was just a dumb kid who now I was into a bass guitar. The thing about it was I was already the singer in a band.
Mm.
And I, like I said, I played a few guitar chords. So it never entered my mind. I just approached it as, okay, I'm going to learn to sing this song, and now I got to learn the bass notes to it too. And that's – it never – it never crossed my mind that these shouldn't work together.
Right.
I just did them. And and now I can honestly say in my entire career, there's only one song, and I do mean only one song, that I cannot play and sing at the same time. Only one.
Which one?
It's Money by Pink Floyd.
Oh.
Because the bass part it's played in a 6/8 time.
Yeah.
Which is just like, you know, one frame has 6 beats instead of 4 in it. But the vocal is sung in a 4/4 regular time.
Oh, wow.
And to make it worse, many, many, many years ago, I actually saw a bass player do it.
Mm.
And I went, not only do I hate you, now I have to go, I have to figure out how you can sing that. And because Roger Waters doesn't even do it with Pink Floyd.
Right.
He doesn't even sing it and play it. He just sings it and has somebody else playing bass.
Yeah. I always thought that it would be really hard to do drums and sing at the same time because there's so much going on with the drums, you know? But
yeah.
bass is basically following the drummer, so yes.
Yeah. Bass and drums certainly go together. Yeah, they have to be locked
the
in there.
Yep. Got to be in the pocket. Yep. Got to be there. And go ahead, honey. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, but just answering John, so that's. I just sort of fell in that way, John. If I had thought about it, it probably would have ruined me. But I never thought about it. I just said, okay, I'll learn those songs and I'll sing them too. And that's how it happened.
Well, you had no fear of it. You just went in and did it.
Right. Never. No second thoughts at all.
A consummate professional, that's why. when you were doing the Streetlights, what parts did you have in the Streetlights? They are a doo-wop band.
Yeah, that was I loved doing that. I did that for about 8 years with the Streetlights.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
I sang the they're tenor parts, but we had one guy who was sang the real high tenor, the falsetto stuff.
Yeah.
And I sang all the next it was tenor, but I don't have a falsetto voice, so I honestly can't sing any notes like that. Everything I sang was natural voice, but in the tenor range.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was fun to do.
Yeah. Excellent. Sing us the Coors Light. Just it's the right beer now. Sing that line. Sing that line.
I guess that was a long time. So the hook line was, "Come on in the Coors Light. It's the
right beer
now."
There it is. I couldn't think of what it was. I saw the line. It's the right beer now, and I'm like, what was it? What was it? Excellent. Yes. So you wrote that?
Yes, I did.
Excellent.
That was on the air for about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
That was every time you turned the radio on, you heard, and that was me singing it too. And it's funny. I this is years back, but I will never forget. I was playing at the Wisconsin. They call it the Milwaukee Summer Fest, and it's a pretty big a concert event. Anyway, I just finished the show and was off to the side of the stage, and a guy walked up to me, and he says, "Hey, I really enjoyed listening to you. I got to tell you something." Now, you got to remember, this is back in like 1992 or so. And he says to me, he goes, "I couldn't help but notice, though, every time I hear you sing, you sound like that guy on the Coors Light beer commercial." And I just started to laugh, and I went, "Wow, that's me." That guy had a great ear. And,
That's funny.
Yeah, it picked me out at a live show and just.
It's funny because we had Billy Vera on the other night who sang At This Moment. And he told me that he sings the song for King of Queens. And I watch that like every night. I'm addicted to the reruns. And when I listen to it, I'm like, I can't believe that's him. It doesn't set because, you know, At This Moment was, you know, a higher pitch.
Oh, yeah.
And when he does this song on King of Queens, he just sounds so different. And then when I hear it now, I'm like, Billy Vera. You know, it's like, I can't believe it, you know.
Yeah,
so,
isn't that wild?
His
voice sounds so different.
It does.
Part of that's production, but also Billy's quite a songwriter, and he knows how to, you know, get the best emotion out of a tune. I listen to his music and I go, this
gorgeous.
Guy gets it.
Yeah, he definitely is a great writer. I mean, we had a great show. He was a nice guy, too. nice guy. Give us one of your quotes for today. Go ahead. Jot one for us. Make one up. We got to get your wife to put in the new book.
All right. Let's see. The pickle is just the cucumber's ugly sibling.
Yep, that's a good one.
I don't know. I write these down sometimes, and I don't even half time. I don't know what they mean.
Right.
But if they're just dumb, and I go, yeah, that'll work. That's dumb enough. That it...
are you going to be working on any new material, or are you just going to focus on doing the stuff from yesterday, doing the tours? Or I know you're going to probably do a new album, but
yeah.
If you do, is it going to be originals or going to do covers again? Or
actually, I think because I did this last time, I think doing about half and half works the best. You get, you know, five or six originals and then five or six covers. I've got my covers lined up. I know what's going on this CD, and I'm finishing up the original material, which I just wrote a song about a week ago, which I wasn't planning on. And sometimes they just come to you and it just happens.
Yeah, right. Right.
And I wrote this one and I went, well, that, I mean, it's got to go. It's good. It's good. You kind of know when they're good. And I wrote this and I went, that's got to go on the record. So I'm thinking, five and five or six and six, but it'll be a good mixture of classic songs and then my own things. And when I write songs, I'm usually serious, but I do. I love to inject humor, not in every song, but there. If you listen to any of my CDs, there's always a song or so that'll have a humorous edge to it. Mm-hmm. I just think music should be fun, and it certainly has it. You know, you want to be serious and. It can bring up some sad emotions,
right.
And you can be happy, but you can also have a laugh, too. And
exactly.
I like to laugh with music. It's fun.
Nice, nice. That's great. That's great. Well, I'm loving having you on the show. I mean,
I appreciate you inviting me.
Oh, no, thank you so much. And I can't believe that Mike called. That's amazing.
Yeah. Mike's probably... He's out there. He knows what everybody's doing all the time. He's watching.
Mike's watching. He's the iron butterfly watching everything.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. He is the keeper of the iron butterfly flame. Mike is very proud of that name, and well, he should be.
Good,
that represents that name in itself represents a lot more than just a band title. I mean,
oh, definitely.
I mean, that's a group. When you think of psychedelic rock, and the first group that comes to mind
is always Iron Butterfly. Yep.
And I know Mike is very diligent about keeping track. He wants to make sure the name is pure, and I know there's people out there that maybe try to book things as Iron Butterfly, and they're not part of it. You know, there's people that are – that's their job. They're Iron Butterfly guys from way back in the day, like Ron Bushy. What a great drummer. And I know Ron and might not play much these days, but Ron is still out there, and that name is golden. And Mike's the protector of that name, and I love that about him too.
Yeah. How many original members are still in the band, Mark, in Grassroots?
Right now, none are original. Although, Dusty, now he's the guitar player. Dusty played on some of the tracks. In the earlier days, they didn't even credit people back then.
Right.
So Dusty, before he was a touring member, was actually playing with some of the with the band before that. Mm-hmm. Then he went off with the Righteous Brothers and played with them for years and years, and then later came back to be in the Grassroots. So he's been he's been with the Grassroots as a guitar player for 40 something years.
Wow.
He's got a
amazing.
But he did leave in of course all those years many years with the Righteous Brothers he's other people as well, but that's kind of all he's done his whole life is Righteous Brothers and Grassroots, really.
Well, good for him, right?
And then you got Larry.
The
keyboard player Larry, he's been with the group 35 years, and the drummer,
wow.
I think Joe's been there 33 years as well.
Wow.
So,
God bless us, right?
I'm the baby, and the funny thing, I'm 12 years full time. But the funny thing is, the original band, the actual band, was only together just shy of 7 years.
Right.
And a lot of people...
Mid-60s, mid-70s, roughly.
Right, right.
Right. Yeah.
And that lineup of those original four was just 7 years. So we've got a lot more years than the original lineup.
Right.
But there have been something like 34 different people that have come in and out of the Grassroots. There's a lot of people that have.
Well, I know Steve Barry and P.F. Sloan wrote most of the hits for the Grassroots. Are they still around? And if they, what other songs did they contribute to in the 60s other than to the Grassroots?
Well, Steve Barry is still alive. I don't know if he's in the music business anymore. Steve went on to be a very successful producer. P.F. Sloan, Phil Sloan, died about 2 years ago. But I'll tell you what, Phil had really done well. One song you'll know right off the bat. The first song he ever wrote was "The Eve of Destruction." That was Barry McGuire. Right.
Yep.
That was
great song.
And I shouldn't say I should rephrase that. The first song that he wrote when he was in the production business, he actually was in a surf band prior to that, and they were called the Fantastic Baggies. Funny name. And he wrote a bunch of surf songs, but when he got into pop songwriting, the first song was "The Eve of Destruction," the very first tune he wrote.
Great.
And the next one was the Grassroots, "Where Were You When I Needed You."
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, was also recorded by the Mamas and Papas. That was recorded by Herman Termitz.
Mm-hmm.
The Bangles recorded that song.
I had no idea that so many people redid that song. Wow.
Yeah, it was done a bunch of times, right.
Wow.
So that song by itself was that's pretty big feather to stick in your cap right there.
Yeah. No, the reason I asked that is because I wanted to see what other songs they may have written that sounded similar to Grassroots. And because, I mean, Grassroots were, they just had this great sound. And, you know, his voice alone was fantastic. And the music, I mean, it was everything. It was all one package. It was a nicely, neatly put together package. And they were fantastic. So, and I tell you, if I was you, I'm sure you are, thrilled to death to be with them and, you know, playing these fabulous songs all these years. So, it'd be an absolute honor for me. I mean, it's an honor to have you on the show with us. So I appreciate that so much.
Well, thank you again, Joanne, for that.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is something that Rob Grill said to me years ago, way before his health was failing him.
Mm.
He said to me, he said, "Mark, you know, one day I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't." He goes, "But when I get out of it," and he was talking to me like I was the guy, he said, he goes, "I want you to bring this music forward just like we do it now,
nice,
but make sure the fans get it this way." And he looked me straight in the face. He goes, "And no changes." And I was totally on board with that. There's a lot of groups, and I won't name any of them, but there's artists out there who just feel, for some reason, that they need to change their song now because it's old. But way before Rob ever said that to me, I always thought, if you have a song that's that good of a song, why would you change anything? No matter how many times you've played it.
It's a classic.
Right.
Don't mess with the classics, you know?
That's how I feel about it. And it was nice to know that Rob always felt that way. He wanted those Grassroots songs to be remembered as the way they were recorded.
And thank God you listened.
Yeah, you didn't have to convince me much
right,
on that.
Right, exactly. It doesn't take much to convince you to do that. Oh, here's something I wanted to ask you. Creed Bratton, he was in the band. Now, also, the show The Office, the character Creed Bratton, did they get that from him, or that just so happens to be just something out of the blue, coincidental, you know?
Well, it's true. Creed, the name Creed Bratton, that's also his character name. That's his real name. He's absolutely everything you've heard is true. Creed Bratton played on the first Grassroots record.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear that opening line of "Let's Live for Today," Yep. That's Creed all the way.
Wow.
He stayed with the band for a little while, but basically, back then, P.F. Sloan and Steve Barry, they ran everything. So they only really needed the Grassroots to come in to sing. They didn't really want any playing, much like the Monkees. And there's plenty of other groups that didn't actually play their music. Right. Maybe they just did the voices. And so Creed would be one of those. He wanted to play his guitar, and they had studio guys, and they said, no, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. So eventually Creed just said, all right, well, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, and just went on to be an actor. Of course, we know what happened 40
God, that's so funny. So it's actually him on The Office.
It's really him.
Isn't that funny? Wow.
There's one, and I wasn't really an Office fan. I could take it or leave it, but I happened to catch one. I think they called it the Booze Cruise or something. They're on this ship, and I guess the Michael, the guy who runs the boss of The Office, tried to sing with the band or something like that, and it just totally blew it. And it turns out Creed grabbed the guitar and jammed with the band. and on their off-camera thing, he said, yeah, I was once in a band back in the day called the Grassroots. He actually said that on the...
He did say that in one episode when he was, I'm hiding or something. I was actually, Yes. And I didn't know that was true. I thought he was just part of the show, you know, a joke. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, it's actual truth, and a lot of people thought the same. Well, that's not true, but it wasn't.
Oh, that's funny. What is he using to get that sound in the beginning of Live for Today? What effect is that?
I think
because it sounds like a mix of a sitar, a guitar, and something else.
Right. I think he just hit his wah-wah pedal, but didn't, just pulled it back. There's a way you can get a click, and there's a certain sound, so it has that kind of, you know, and maybe he's got a little vibrato on there as well.
Definitely a different sound, that's for sure.
I just assumed it was something with that wah-wah pedal where you could, there's a certain thing, it's hard, but they'll click it, and they'll hit down with their heel and leave it there.
Okay.
And that's what I think anyway. But I wasn't obviously there when I run into him, I'm going to ask him, what'd you use? He'll probably say, that was so long ago, I don't remember, you know.
and who was Kenny Fukumoto? I just can't picture the Grassroots. Was he Asian or no?
Well, that's an interesting thing too. Ken Fukumoto was actually set to be the original lead singer.
Right. Yeah.
And the way that – so I never actually met Ken, but the way that went down was so the Grassroots – and this is a real story. Some people think it's made up too, but this is real. Steve Barry – well, P.F. Sloan had already written the song and recorded it, had it all recorded, and then went in and sang it, that being Where Were You When I Needed You, went in and sang it. They released the single with him singing it and called it the Grassroots.
Hmm.
Now, there was no Grassroots at that time, but the label, I guess, was Lou Adler would have been heading up the label. That was ABC Dunhill back then.
Lou Adler, yep.
And the song was becoming a hit. Now they needed an artist to be the Grassroots. So they got this band. They found a band called the 13th Floor.
Right.
Not to be confused with the 13th Floor Elevator, which was a different band altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to the 13th Floor, do you guys want to have a hit single? Yes, we do. Okay. All you have to do is change your name to the Grassroots. And then they were going to redo the vocal. And that was all. Well, Ken Fukumoto was the singer of the 13th Floor. And so it was Ken, Warren Ettner. It was Creed Bratton. And it was Rick Coons, right.
Yeah.
So that band was set to go in the studio. And at the last minute, Ken Fukumoto said, no, I'm going to join the Army instead.
Oh, and, God.
And he bailed out and literally did not go to the studio. Instead, he went to the Army. And Warren said, oh, I know this guy who can play a little bass and he can sing. And that's how they got Rob Grill. Rob was not a member of the band until the day he came in the studio, sang Where Were You When I Needed You, and then said, okay, you guys are the grassroots now.
So was he doing that as a demo? Was he singing it as a demo?
Initially, P.F. Sloan was singing it as a
demo. On the demo, gotcha.
But they released it anyway with P.F.'s voice. So there's two versions out there.
I got to look that up, yeah.
If you start comparing them, the music's the same, but you got to listen to that voice. You'll know which is which.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They're both out there, though.
So did Kenny Fukumoto go on to anything else, or no? He never was a musician again, or you have no idea?
Never heard anything musically about him later. I do know that he went out to war and came home, which was great that he came back. But I don't know that he ever certainly was not involved with the grassroots from
right.
that moment, but
wow.
But would have been the singer had he not decided to join the Army.
Isn't that something, huh?
Isn't it? Yeah, some things you just don't expect.
I bet no one ever knew that.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, I got a question about your hot sauce. How did you get involved in making your own brand of hot sauce? How did that come about?
I forgot to mention that. I forgot. Yeah.
Well, the hot sauce, my wife is always testing out these things on me. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? And she came up with this mango pineapple thing once, and it just blew me away. I mean, she was just trying it, and what do you think of this? And I said, oh, my God, I'd put that on everything.
It sounds delicious.
It was so delicious. And anyway, we got this hot idea. Oh, we're going to do hot sauce. Well, we were already full on to the idea, and then we found out how much it would actually cost to do your own – to do an like unlimited brand, a run of what I meant to say. We didn't know you have to have a certified kitchen. So you can either rent that kitchen out, which is a ridiculous amount of money, or I could outsource our recipe to a company who had the certified, and that's what we ended up having to do. So it kind of wipes out any profits. We wanted to donate the money to the NAMI Foundation in Orlando, but there's basically no money to donate. As much as I love it, and the people that have ordered it loved it, and we sold that out too. There's no profit for anyone except the kitchen that's making it. And sadly, I mean, not that I don't want them to make money, but I really wanted to do this as a donation for NAMI. But if we even had a little bit of money, we'd do it again. I just hate the fact of doing so. And we put a lot of work into it. And then once it's turned over, well, we have to ship it and everything else. And I know the fans that buy, they love it, and it's so good.
So it's still for sale. You can still get it.
You can. I have to order. I think I have to order 1,500 bottles of it.
Wow.
And to do 1,500 and then to not get anything from it. And again, it's not for me, but for our organization there.
Right.
So we kind of put it on hold. The kitchen's there. We can start it up anytime. But they don't really cut good deals with you.
Wow.
And I'm a terrible negotiator, by the way.
I wanted to go back to Rob, if you didn't mind. Was he always suffering from the vascular necrosis, or not when you guys knew each other, or it come later in life?
It came later. Rob, from about 1989 or 90 on,
yeah.
Rob had one thing after another, a hip replacement, knee replacement. He had a shoulder.
He was only 67. My God, he was only 67.
Right. And he was in great health until that early 90s. And, and from that on, you could just see it. Every time he'd have something else done, he'd look a little more tired, a little older.
It would take a toll on him. Yeah.
And by the time he got that thing happened in 2008 with the subdural hematoma, and he was in a coma for several days. he came out of that and he looked good and he sounded great, but he couldn't. He had to sit on stools now. He couldn't.
Yeah, it sounds like me.
Oh, yeah, well, obviously, yeah. When we get to a certain age, and think you start getting medical things, they don't get better as quick as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what happened, and that's really what started the talk of Rob retiring and things like that.
At least he had a friend, you know, replace him, and he knew that you would, you know, it was in good hands, and you would take care of it the way he would have wanted it. You know what I mean? So that's great.
I would have to agree. I know Rob was very. There was some solace in that. He knew what I did and how I did it, and he was good with that.
And rest easy on that. Yeah.
Right, and I think that, and maybe. You know, I mean, Rob's wife and I have had, you know, dozens of conversations about what Rob would or would not have wanted. But I think we agree the band stayed
just fine. Right.
Right. We stayed. The band stayed in that direction, in that we're doing what should be done with Grassroots Tunes. No changes. There will be no changes with the Grassroots song.
Do you know if his album in 79, Uprooted, did that have any hits or any good airplay or anything on the radio? Or
no, unfortunately. And I thought it was a really good record, too.
I'm sure it was.
I think what really happened there, it didn't get any radio play, but it was just because it was one of those things where when he signed to the label and the label was behind it and they got in there and they produced it and he had people in his corner like Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac and Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac. They were some of the reasons that this got to major labels. The person, and I can't recall the executive's name, but the person who signed Rob to this for this Uprooted record left the organization while they were in the middle of the production.
Right.
It kind of got shelled right then and there.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I wonder if he ever.
Hey, Mark, I got a question for you. Mark, in your live shows, have you seen the audience change any, like from the people our age to younger people coming to see the Grassroots for the first time and their reaction to it? Have you noticed a change in the audience?
Well, I don't know if it'd be a change so much, but after every show when we do have the merch and the CDs and such, there are a lot more younger people showing up.
That's not so much
a change, but more an addition, I guess, more so than a change.
Yes.
And invariably, I'll say, hey, how do you guys even know our tunes? And they'll say, my grandparents or my parents turned me on to like I remember one young man saying, oh my God, when I was a little baby, my parents wouldn't play anything else but the Grassroots. And he knew every song, he said, just from being in the house. He said that he had never seen us, and now he's in his 20s, and it's great. I love hearing that, and I love the fact that, because I have a daughter who's 27.
Alive. The music's still alive, it's.
Right, and it stands up, maybe it's not what's happening on the radio today, but most of the songs that the Grassroots did, don't come off as cheesy now.
No.
And there's plenty of oldie groups, and I say oldie, and I mean that with love when I say that. There's plenty that some of the songs are just cheesy. You know, that was cool in 65 or 6, but it's not so cool now. You know, but I guess that you could say that there's probably Beatles songs as well that aren't so. Mr. Moonlight comes to mind. That was a bad one.
So did you bring the idea of Midnight Confessions to Rob's attention? It was a remake of Blake Bailey's, or no? Is that, did I get that wrong?
It was a remake of the Evergreen Blues Band, I think.
I didn't know that.
Right, it was originally done. The name of the group, Lou Josie, wrote the song.
Mm.
I was not around with the Grassroots. In fact, I
right,
at
the
was
time, right.
At 68, I didn't know Rob yet. I knew him in the early 70s.
Mm.
That probably was a Steve Barry selection, because I think Steve still was listed as the producer. And mm. back then, and even today, producers get the final, you know, whatever they get to say so.
Yeah.
What happened? Steve and Barry and P.F. Sloan worked together on many, many recording sessions. P.F. sort of left. He had a bunch of tunes that were recorded, and he sort of left after that. And then Steve Barry was taking songs from other creators and writers, and then they would run the demos past him and or Lou Adler, because Lou was still with Dunhill. And then that's how they would select. They would actually select from that batch of songs. And
right.
the band was also, by the time 1969 came along, the band was getting some B-sides, and they were writing mm-hmm. some songs. But it was not the featured songs. They were not getting the I'd Wait a Million Years or Sooner
yeah.
or Later. Those
yeah.
were outside writers, and darn good ones, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love all the songs, all of them. And it's funny that Rob initially wanted to be a lawyer. Do you think he ever worked out any of the legal situations with the band? Or
I think Rob probably wanted to know just enough legal stuff so he could get out of a situation if he
exactly.
needed to.
Exactly, if he needed to, right. Oh, my goodness.
And God bless him for that. He was good. Boy, Rob could talk his way out of it. He was great at that stuff, man. He was funny.
Yeah, it's a shame that he's gone. It really is.
Yeah, we miss him all the time. Yeah. There's no doubt there. We miss the guy every day.
Yeah. Well, real quick, if anybody wants to give us a call, 646-478-0999 to speak to Mark Dawson, the lead singer and bass player of Grassroots, and they will be touring on the East Coast very soon. Where are you going to be again?
Well, we've got more West Coast dates coming up. I think that's Friday, we go up to Hiawassee, Georgia, which is about 2 hours north of Atlanta. After that, we hit Las Vegas, and then on to, I can't even tell you the names. I'll just say a bunch of cities in California, 8 or 9 days in a row then. And then we get into August. And there's more of California, but we managed to slip in a few Alabama, Arkansas dates, Missouri. So we're
Come to the East Coast.
Yeah, we just got that Quaker. although we're always up in, we're always in the Philly area somewhere, or we're doing Atlantic City. We do a lot up in in Long Island. We're there a couple times over a year doing the Westbury Theater up there. We got some other Jersey dates that are, but they're not happening until November. We get a little while still.
November's not that far away. I'm hoping I can make it. I'd love to check you out.
I'll call you and check in on you.
Yeah. Well, I'll see it on Facebook. I'll see it posted on Facebook that you'll be out there. So, I'll hope to get there. So, but anyway, if you guys are interested in checking out Mark's album, he's got it was released when last year, right?
Yeah, I think it came out last year in July or August.
And that's available at the website.
Yeah, and you can certainly listen to it. If you want to listen first, just go ahead. It's all there, streaming 24 hours a day.
Straight from the Heart is the name of the album, folks.
That's it.
And you can also catch Mark on his radio show, Making Noise with Mark Dawson, and that's on the Hall of Fame radio show. I believe it's, what is it, HOFRM radio?
It's HOFMradio.com.
Is that online? Yeah, .com. Okay. Yeah.
Right. You can listen all kinds of ways. You can listen online. You can listen on an actual radio if you're in the area, and then you can actually listen to it on through TuneIn, which is my favorite radio app, by the way. I love listening to I'm hooked on Canadian radio stations. I don't know why.
I'm Sirius. I do Sirius radio.
I used to listen to Sirius all the time, but now that I'm so sold, and TuneIn is free too, by the way. I just find these Canadian stations that play a great mixture of pop and classic rock, and
cool.
I don't find any in the States that do that, so I like it a lot.
Excellent. Well, I want to say thank you very much for joining us. John, did you have anything else you wanted to ask Mark?
No, I'm just very happy to talk with him. It's just one of my favorite groups. It's thank you so much, Mark.
Yeah, oh, I appreciate the invite. I really appreciate it. Anytime,
no,
you know.
No, I was going to say, please, anytime you come back. And I think it was great that Mike gave us a call, Mike Green from Iron Butterfly. Hopefully we'll have him on the show in the future. Oh, and this Sunday, maybe a friend of yours, Mark, we have Bobby Figueroa from America's Band.
Oh, yeah.
He's the drummer with the Beach Boys. I figured summer, let's do summer. Let's welcome summer with Bobby Figueroa.
You got it. If the words beach and boys are affiliated with your name, then you should be all over the radio all summer long.
Absolutely. Yep, that's it. It's the summer band of the country. You know, it's just the band of the United States. It really is summer, winter, spring, fall, you know. Just great band.
They are. And I love that the Beach Boys can go to Australia or go somewhere else. You know, the Netherlands, I think I just
They're
saw
known
one.
All over, yeah.
Right, just those iconic songs. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when the Beatles say that you're their favorite band, you know that's something good that's coming out of the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
So the Beatles, they loved Pet Sounds.
Pet Sounds is a great album. Oh,
yeah, it's great. Everything about it, yeah.
Yeah.
I would sit through just that. Just play that record for me, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, I tell you, he really was a genius. He, you know, it's a shame that he doesn't do as much as he should these days. But you know, he's let's not go into that.
Yeah.
He's got his shoes, and you know, unfortunately, I hope he gets better. Let's hope he gets better real soon. And that's Brian Wilson we're talking about, by the way.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, Bobby Figueroa is going to be with us Sunday, July 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Can't wait to have him on. And, Mark, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. You're so kind to join us and love the conversation, love the music. Keep on rocking. I know you won't stop. And, you know, I know you're not going to stop until they, you know, the man upstairs tell you you're going to stop. But you'll still be playing up there, too. So
I'm taking my blue bass with me when I go up to the spirit in the sky, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, what's the name of your bass? You got a name for it?
We call it Blue. That's all there is. Just it's taken on legendary status all by itself. So
nice.
Blue
nice.
Is always part of my travel plan.
Yep. Blue and You. There you go.
Blue and you.
There's your album, Blue and You.
Blue and You. Okay.
Blue and
write
me.
That down.
Oh, put it in the book. Get your wife. Let's put it in the book.
Thank you for joining us tonight, Mark.
Yes, Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Please come back anytime.
And I can't wait to hear all your crazy anecdotes on Facebook because I absolutely love them.
My pleasure.
And we're almost out of time.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Thank you for our callers. Thank you, KWV Wines. And don't forget to join us Sunday night, July 14th, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Bobby Figueroa, the drummer with the Beach Boys, because everybody's gone surfing USA. It's summertime. But I also
Good night, Joanne.
Oh, John won't let me. He knows I'll go on and on. He's going to shut me up. All right, night, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for calling, everybody.
Thank you.
A good night. Take care. Bye.
And this is the Applause Radio
Rock and
Show.
Roll.
Bye-bye now, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for calling. Take care.